the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
We're in the book of Numbers, and in chapter 2, you'll find two or three unique verses. One of them is verse 17. The tabernacle of meeting shall move out with the camp of the Levites in the middle of the camps as the camp. Now listen to this. So they shall move out, every one in his place, by their standard, or banners, some people would say. Well, this is Bert Harper and Alex McFarlane, and we are going through the book of Numbers. It's a book of history, yes, but it's also got a lot of numbers in it, numbering the people, two senses. But there are some really gems in the midst of all that. All of it's God's Word, but there are some verses and events taking place in Numbers that I just think are significant. Alex, again, the book of Numbers, you was talking about how many sermons you had from it. I went through mine. I've got several as well. But I'll have to admit, when it comes to where they're located, on the east side, on the west side, the south side, and north side, I necessarily didn't get a message out of that, but I did get something important. It is that God has a place for everyone. That's pretty unique, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And Bert, it's great to be with you, and welcome to Exploring the Word. This is the day that, in addition to teaching Scripture, we take a lot of prayer requests. And so later on in the show, if you've got a prayer request, something you'd like to bring before a nationwide audience, and together we would pray for one another, you'll have that opportunity to call here in a little while. Yesterday, as you said, we were in the book of Numbers. And, you know, you're the gentleman that notices the repeated phrases. I did notice four times in chapter 1 talks about the men that are 20 years old and older. And four times there's a phrase, able to go forth to war. And so they were going to be possessing their land. They would have to engage in battle a time or two. In chapter 2, there is a phrase that appears seven times, I noticed, quote, according to their armies. Now, Bert, to your question, and if I'm spiritualizing a little too much, you rein me in. Israel was going to possess the land, and they were called to possess all of the land. I want to compare for just a moment Israel and the church. Now, they are separate, and so I'm not talking about what is sometimes called supersessionism or replacement theology. Israel is Israel. The church is the church. Israel was called to possess the promised land. The church is called to take the gospel to all the world, all the land. And just as they were organized in armies that could go forth to war, and there were a number of them, and seven times, you know, according to their armies and their standards, there's an organizational structure to God's church, the New Testament church. There are, it's been said, five offices: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And we are, by God's grace, not to, we don't spread the gospel militarily. That's another subject for another day. But let me say this, when God has a program, he's organized. And when God is, whether it be the spiritual warfare of fighting back the darkness, winning lost souls to Christ, taking the message of the gospel, and, as Jesus said in Matthew 28, quote, all things whatsoever I have told you, on earth, in heaven, by the physical work and by the Spirit, God is a God of order and organization, isn't he?
He really is, Alex, and that is the overall view of what you find in especially Numbers 2. And then when you get into 3 and 4, there's two or three things in chapter 2 we want to go through. You find their duties and where they are to serve. So here in chapter 2, notice, I started out with verse 17 because the tabernacle is right in the middle. And he locates three tribes on the east side, three on the south side, the west side and the east side, whichever one I west side, and then the north side. That's the one I didn't. And each one of these, the largest is Judah. They're the largest tribe, and they're out in front. That's important. The next largest group, that is Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The next largest group is in the other part of it, and it would trail them. And so each one of them had their place, but right in the middle is the tabernacle of meeting. Now, Alex said, talking about how it's organized, it is very organized, each person, each one by their banner. But it says something here, I think it's important, in verse 2, Alex. It says, every one of the children of Israel shall camp by his own standard, or the banner. Yeah. We don't know exactly what it looked like, but each one of the tribes had their own banner of identification. We call it a flag standard. And besides the emblems of his father's house, they shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting. There was this space. Mm-hmm. Do you remember in Joshua, this would be 40 years later, when they were to go into the land? This is chapter 3 of Joshua, and the tabernacle, the ark was to go first as they carried the ark on their soldier, on their shoulders. But it says, and you keep your distance.
Yes.
There's this holiness of God. I know you can call, the friend upstairs. I just want to tell you, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is that person. But I just want to tell you, there's also this awesomeness about him, this separateness about him, that he is God and not man. And I believe this phrase illustrates that, Alex.
Yeah.
They were to keep their distance, but they had their places where they could see, where they could identify. But at the same time, there was this holiness, this knowing of God's separateness and how awesome he is. Am I taking that too far, or does you think that means that?
I think you're exactly right. And it wasn't it 2,000 cubits?
That's it, over in Joshua. That's what it said, yes.
Because here's the thing, the ark and the tabernacle are holy. And even though the armies were ordained by God, and I love that, you know, it says there in verse 2 of chapter 2, every man will pitch his tent by his own ensign, E-N-S-I-G-N, or emblem. And I'm believing they had these flags with different emblems for the different tribes that we mentioned. But this was the secular versus the spiritual, you know, the physical versus the holy. And while they were there, they were near God, within sight. But this is roughly 3,000 feet that they were to keep between the holy Ark of the Covenant and the different armies. And, you know, by the way, I'm kind of old school, Bert. The sanctuary of the church is holy space, you know? And I know that there are some churches and they have to, maybe for pragmatic reasons, have multi-use, you know, with one room, and there's, you know, the worship service in a room, and then later on that afternoon there might be basketball in the room. But I like it when a church has what's called the sanctuary, the word sanctus, or holy. And yes, we're under grace, we're not under law, but there is something to keep reverent and holy about the person of God, the Word of God, and where the people gather to worship God. And I don't know, I think this idea of sacred space goes all the way back to the earliest times, to always be mindful of who God is and His holiness that is to be acknowledged.
If you can't do that and you have that multi-use building, when it is used as a worship space, treat it as such. Yes. That's the whole idea. I know in the churches out west, man, they had a hard time. They'd have the school during the daytime and the worship time during, and it was a town hall meeting. But during that time when the church gathers, it's a worship. Even home churches, when you think about that, that is a sacred time when you meet with God. Now, in verses 32 through 33 and 34 at the end of this, I think it's important as well. It says, "These are the ones who were numbered of the children of Israel by their fathers' houses. All who were numbered according to their armies of the forces were 603,550. But the Levites were not numbered." They're going to be numbered in next chapter. They were not numbered among the children of Israel, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Now listen to verse 34. "Thus the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So they camped by their standards, and so they broke camp each one by his family according to the father's houses." Now, Alex, this is close to what was repeated after chapter 1, verse 54, when it says, "The children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so they did." It's important each way. Well, I obeyed God then, but now I'm going to do it on my own. I obeyed God under those circumstances, but I'm taking some leave from that and doing it my way. No, each step of the way, Alex, we're to obey the Lord, aren't we?
Amen. I'm glad that you brought that out of verse 34. The children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. And in contrast to later events that we're going to come across in the book.
Oh, don't spoil it, Alex.
Yeah. Would that would be our motto for all of life, that we're going to do all that the Lord commanded.
Amen.
And so for those just tuning in, this is Alex and Bert. We're in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 2, which is, let me say this, every bit of God's word is significant and ordained and given by the Holy Spirit. And part of the reason that Bert and I were praying about doing this book, the book of Numbers, is because, I don't know, I kind of get the gut feeling that maybe this is flyover country, that it doesn't get preached on too much. But, Bert, I'm going to bring up a book, an oldie goldie, published by Moody Publishers many, many years ago. I had this book in seminary. I'm going to think you might have had this book, too. It was called The Church in God's Program by a guy named Robert Saucy, S-A-U-C-Y, The Church in God's Program. Does that ring a bell
it
at all?
It does, yes. I think it wasn't our primary, but it was referenced to. Go ahead.
Exactly. Well, the organization of the church is called Ecclesiology. The ecclesia, the called out assembly. And it's part of the new covenant that, God does a new thing. We're not under law. And by the way, the keeping of the law was never the plan of salvation. People kept the laws of Moses and they observed the rituals. But in faith, they looked for the promised Messiah that would come. We look at the promised Messiah who did come, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God is a God of organization. And, whether in the church, because we have the new heart, we're under the Spirit, not the law. We're under grace, not ritual. And we have a heart, a living heart, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. We hear the Holy Spirit. We pray to God. We follow what he says. And let me just say this, and I'm circling back to 34. Bert, we're living in a time where some churches, they feel like, well, we acknowledge the gospel, believe in Jesus. But regarding the structure of the church, the organization of the church, gender roles, and the assignments to men and women, maybe we don't have to acknowledge that. No, Israel was to, quote, do all that the Lord commanded. So, too, are we, the church of the 21st century.
Alex, I know what all means in the Greek. Does it mean the same thing in Hebrew? All, everything?
All means all. That's all means.
We'll
Stay
be back.
Tuned, everybody.
The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing. 'Cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your father's heard every single word you're saying.
Don't stop praying. Alex and Bert here, so honored that you're listening. This is the American Family Radio Network, Exploring the Word. And we're in the book of Numbers, the Old Testament book of Numbers. We're going to kind of migrate to chapter 3 here. It says, "These are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day that the Lord spake with Moses in Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron, Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar." Now, when over in Leviticus 10, we'll circle back with Nadab and Abihu. They are somewhat well known, but not really for a good reason. But Bert, this still at Mount Sinai, and the beginning of the numbering and the census of the tribes starts with the families of Aaron and Moses, and all from there. And so Aaron is a priest, and his sons are going to be pretty notorious, aren't they?
They really are. And he had four. And so the first two that you talked about, it talks about it in 3 or 4. And let me just read it and then we'll say it. "These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priest, whom he consecrated to minister as priest. Nadab and Abihu had died before the Lord when they offered profane fire before the Lord in the wilderness in Sinai, and they had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priest under the oversight of Aaron and their father." Alex, yeah. I could not help but think about some more brothers. Not exactly, but Cain and Abel, and then Cain killed Abel, but then God gave Adam and Eve Seth, you know, to carry That's on true. That godly. So here it is. God's not hard up, okay? He wants you. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to be saved. But I just want to tell you, God, it's to our benefit. It would have been to Nadab and Abihu's, it would have been their advantage not to do what they did, Alex. So when we come into disobedience and not doing what God says, there's a price to pay, and sometimes that price costs you more than you would ever dream.
You know, I was going to ask you kind of a trivia question, maybe. What do Ananias and Sapphira have in common with Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron?
Okay, I'm thinking. Go ahead.
Well, Ananias and Sapphira are obviously in the New Testament in the book of Acts.
Okay,
But they died before the Lord.
They did.
Didn't they?
Yes, they really
It's
did.
Almost like a New Testament counterpart.
It is.
And you're right. God is for you. God wants to bless you and use you. But I heard somebody, I can't remember what preacher I heard say it, but, you know, God is not running a bargain basement salvation here.
That's it.
God is not, you know, having a fire sale. Salvation is a free gift, but it really does mandate and require our best. And, of course, the sons of Aaron will offer strange fire before the Lord. Don't quite know completely what that is. Some have speculated maybe it was some sort of occultism. Maybe it was, maybe they were drunk when they were trying to carry out the offices of a priest. But they ultimately would be struck dead before God. There in the wilderness of Sinai, they had no children. Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron, their father. Let me pull something out here in verse 4. Nadab and Abihu, or Abihu, however you say it, it doesn't say that they ministered in the sight of Aaron, their father. And in verse 4, regarding their successors, Eleazar and Ithamar, they did minister. Bert, I don't want to read too much into this. I don't want to be guilty of eisegesis. But it sounds like with this second round of sons, Aaron is a little more involved and overseeing what's going on.
Amen.
You know?
I had put my finger under oversight. That's what it says. Yeah. And I thought the same thing. Here it is. This father, I don't care, the sons dying because of disobedience, whatever, it hurt the father. And this time Aaron said, okay, I'm gonna give greater detail. So I think this is a good I would say, a picture of parenthood.
Well, it is.
What was your friend Josh McDowell said? Rules without relationship leads to rebellion.
Amen.
But the reverse is that, you know, a relationship with no boundaries or no guidelines, guess what? That leads to rebellion as well.
Well, it does. And let me just say this. I know I quote a lot of people, but I don't know. I've been very blessed to be around a lot of great mature Christians, Bert, you included. But Elmer Towns, he was one of my mentors in seminary. Dr. Towns used to always say, people don't do what you expect, they do what you inspect. And he would say that goes for children as well. There was a study from Cornerstone Magazine, a Christian magazine. When the mother takes the children to church, there's a 50-50 chance that they will stick with church and Christianity after high school. Thank the Lord for godly mothers. But that very same study, and it was backed up by data in North America and Europe, when mother and father together take the children to church, there's almost an 80% chance that the kids will stick with it after high school. And so, picking out of Numbers 3, verse 4, that Eleazar and Ithamar, now they're walking with the Lord, serving, quote, in the sight of Aaron their father. Men, it's time to step it up.
Amen.
And as a Christian husband and as a Christian father, if you're so blessed to have a family like that, you are the priest of the home. And not in any way to detract from the influence of a godly mother. Thank the Lord for Christian moms. But it just multiplies the influence just exponentially when dad is walking consistently with Jesus. That's why, you know, I just believe in family devotions. Angie and I, you know, I give God the glory. In 35 years, I mean, you could count on maybe two or three fingers the days that we didn't read like Our Daily Bread or Open Windows. And that was only if I was on the other side of the world or something, you know. And men, you are the spiritual leader of the home, and God expects us to live as such, doesn't he?
Great insight. Yes, and great insight, Alex. Appreciate that so much. Now, what you're going to have in verse 6 and following is the ministry of the Levites. They're going to be numbered, but there are some words, and I think we can go through this, Alex, and if you follow me, and then we come back. He's going to number them, and he uses their family by name. It would be very, I know this is where people say, oh man, I can't even enunciate those. But listen to this. Again, it says this in verse 10. Who the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. It has the idea this is the power of God. But here's what I want to say. Notice what it says here, and it says it in verse 25, the duties of the children. Okay? And it doesn't stop there. It continues on. Verse 31, the duty included the ark and so forth. Verse 36, and the appointed duty of the children. It continues on, and it uses these terms again. And each one of them, it had each one of these groups, the sons of the ministry of the Levites, each one of them had their appointed duties, Alex. And you were talking about earlier the church and how there is organization to it. And trying to get out of that organization because, oh, I don't like it. It limits. No. This ministry was what? Limited to the Levites. And then verse 10, it says, the outsider, and I'm going to add a little bit here, just stay with me. The outsider who decides, oh, I want to have that job.
Mm-hmm.
If they come near, they'll be put to death. So God's duties and personnel and location. Now, what do you think about those three words? Duties.
Yes.
Personnel and location. Isn't that doing what verses chapters 3 and 4 are about?
Bert, that is a great outline. And really, like we said in the first segment, the distance was a little over a half mile, about 0.56 of a mile. And, you know, when it talks about the stranger shall be put to death, and it doesn't just mean, you know, somebody passing through. It is somebody that intruded into the priestly office. You know, Saul tried to do that. Nowadays, there are people, not just gender mistake, but wildly carnal people in sin, deviant lifestyles in open rebellion to God that are insisting on being ordained to the pastorate and things like that. And so just as they were to be copious in their following of God's order and structure with the Wilderness Tabernacle, we are in the organization of the New Testament church. Bert, I love this. I don't mean to go backward, but they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation, verse 7, and they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle. And verse 10, and they shall wait on the priest's office or attend to or carry out. And let me just say, it's been noted many times, it's Christ's church. He bought the church with the most precious commodity in the universe, his own blood. And it's not ours to tamper with. We can participate. We can gratefully and faithfully try to carry it out, but it's not ours to deconstruct and reinvent, is it?
It is not. And keeping with that, what you just said, what I said earlier, notice these terms in verse 23. The families of the Gishonites were to camp behind the tabernacle westward. Mm-hmm. Again, he has that place. Alex, with all my heart, I do believe that God calls his people to certain places. I've seen it in missionaries. They have a heart for a country. It could be Iran, praying for them. I mean, you know, praise God, the number of believers out of that nation that's come to Christ in the last few years has been amazing. I know people have a heart for South America, for you know, the Alex. So God calls people, individuals, to certain ministries and certain locations. God, I believe with all my heart, called you here to AFA to minister.
Amen.
Here. I believe 2011, God called me to come here. I didn't know I was going to join you on Exploring the Word, but he did. I came to just work with pastors and families, and God said, no, I got something in addition to that, Bert, Exploring the Word. And so God calls us, and he is equipped. So these people here in chapter 3 and chapter 4, you can continue on, see it. They're appointed to their duties. They enter the service. They carry them out. They've got jobs to do.
Yes.
And so, Alex, it's important today in the church that we develop the ministry God has given us with skills and abilities and spiritual gifts. Find out the church and the location, and do it as obedient to the Lord. So important, isn't it?
Well, it is. Bert, I'm glad you're bringing that up. And depending on what translation you have, maybe your translation says over and over, the charge. Like in verse 25, the charge of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation shall be the tabernacle and the tent and the covering thereof. And it goes down there and talks about that the sons of Kohath, their charge shall be the ark. John Wesley, when he, and certainly the followers of Wesley were among the earliest evangelists and pastors to go out through the North American continent. They said that finally, when the railroads made it out to the West, there were Methodist preachers, the disciples of Wesley, that had been there for years already. But they would have a charge, a two-church charge or a three-church charge. And maybe your translation says the duty or the assignment or the calling. But, Bert, there was an old gospel hymn years ago, a charge to keep I have, you know, to live as a disciple, to at least on some level be a participant in the Great Commission. So this idea that you as a born-again believer have things to do for the Savior, well, this, the charges of life for the Christian, this goes all the way back to 1450 B.C., doesn't it?
Amen. And the organization is amazing. Again, verse 38, don't want to miss this again. It says, moreover, those who were to camp before the tabernacle on the east, their location, before the tabernacle of meeting, where Moses, Aaron, and his son keep in charge of the sanctuary to meet the needs of the children of Israel. Now, it had purpose. You can add that to it. Each person, each location, they had their purpose. But the outsider who came near was to be put to death. Again, it shows this holiness of God, this separateness. Now, when we could not come to him, Alex, he came to us. And that was Jesus Christ, wasn't it?
It surely was. And by the way, on this, the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. It doesn't mean that they were to go out looking for somebody to execute. What it means, if somebody was intruding into the holiness, the presence of the ark, and really corrupting the people in their standing with and for the Almighty God, we don't have a record that they had to implement this death penalty, but to tamper with God's design for the salvation order, that was a capital crime.
Amen.
Well, stay tuned. The number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Your prayer requests and phone calls and questions after this. It's Tuesday, and certainly there's a lot to pray about. And on Exploring the Word, Bert and I would love to hear from you. Call 888-589-8840.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Psalm 14:2.
American Family Radio.
Not because I'm worthy, it's all because of mercy. There's no way that I could earn it. Praise God, my debt is paid. It's not because I'm worthy, it's all because of mercy.
Amen. For God's mercy. Monday morning, when we started off our week here at AFA, we started off with our devotional and our president, Tim Wildman. That was his word, mercy. And he was talking about how undeserving we are that God would be merciful to us. And so I hope you know about God's mercy through salvation. Let me give this real quickly. And we are taking prayer requests. And that number is 888-589-8840. The Ten Commandments Speech Challenge 2025 is going on. And we want you to be a participant. If you're from 7 to 17 and you want more details, here's all you have to do. And I'd encourage you to do so. You can go to afr.net/Ten Commandments. That's afr.net/Ten Commandments and get all the details. And that would help you. We've done it for several years now, and we're doing it again in 2025. So do that. So, Alex, again, day of prayer. I'm glad I forgot the lady's name. If she wants to call sometime and say, I'm the one that asked you. Since we're voting on a Tuesday, and this was before the election, start praying on Tuesday. Well, we did it, and after it was over, we continued to do it, and it has become one of the things that people have really said they appreciate the prayer time here. So, Alex, yes, we want to do that. So, that number, 888-589-8840.
Well, we're going to start in Indiana. Bradley in Indiana, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What you got, Bradley?
Hey. Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah, you're on.
So my mother-in-law's boyfriend is currently is currently in surgery for an aortic rupture.
Hmm.
We want to pray for him. Yeah.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me add something to that. My wife's sister, Jan is my wife. Her sister, Joan, is in the hospital, very sick, and we're praying. I know Jan and I have been praying. We want you to pray. Write her name down, Joan, and we want to pray for her, Alex, and just God do a work in her life, and we want to do that. So we want to pray for Bradley's, his mother-in-law's friend, and so, and pray for Joan. Alex, would you do that?
Yes, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are the great physician, and Lord, you hear our prayers. And Lord, I especially pray for this man, the friend of the mother-in-law, this individual who's even right now apparently in surgery for this aortic rupture. Lord, I pray that this would get healed, that this would not be fatal. And I can tell by the gentleman's emotion that this means a lot. And this person is just apparently between life and death. So, Lord Jesus, please intervene, and we praise you that you can and you do that. And then we lift up Joan also, Joan, that you will meet all the physical needs. And, Lord, minister healing and restoration and strength. And in addition to the physical concerns that we definitely pray for, also the spiritual, Lord,
yes,
that as you heal and as you give a second wind, that you draw these people closer to you, Lord. And all of us, as we watch your hand of provision and your protection and your healing, that builds our testimony and our ability to say to others how faithful Jesus is. So for Joan and the gentleman with the aortic rupture, we lift them up to you now, agreeing together in prayer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a prayer request, please bring it, or a Bible question for that matter as well. We're going to go to Illinois. William in Illinois, welcome to the program.
Yes, brothers, I appreciate that.
Yes.
I looked back, I'm just turned 81. I come from the old school of the way the church used to be, going through the years with parents and grandparents coming out of the 1880s, looking at the situation. But what is frightening to me is a sermon I heard one time of this pitching your tent towards Sodom. And I've seen so much of that going on today that it just scares me to see people be so blind that they would want to pitch their tent towards Sodom and get those results that Lot did. And he lost everything after he come out of there. Thank you, brothers.
William, hey, that's a prayer request, because that is happening, Alex. He is, hey, old school, you mentioned it. William's mentioned it. You know what old school right is? When it was right with the Word of God, it's still right today.
Yeah, yeah. I think about a lyric in a gospel song that says that men filled with holy flame that preach the Word of God not for wealth or fame. And let me say, hey, I love everybody, and Lord knows we've circled this country and beyond to share the gospel with anyone and everyone. But I want to say this, we're not called to placate or coddle sin or sinners. We love people, but we tell people the truth. But to the caller's point, the church of God is supposed to be based on the scripture, the infallible word of God. Jude verse 3 says the faith once delivered to the saints. And let me say, folks, the church is not to be woke. It's to be biblical, isn't it, Bert?
Hey, the church needs to awake, but not woke. Okay?
Yeah, really.
Amen.
Amen. Gary in Tennessee. Gary, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
How y'all doing today?
Blessed.
We're out here in the heat on the farm, so fertilizing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just want to share what the Lord can do. I was in a nursing home 11 years ago dying. I told him one night to give me a liver, take me home. And I got a liver the next day. And that was 11 and a half years ago. And he's got me as a mentor at the Methodist Hospital in Memphis. I go up and mentor transplant patients and share the gospel with them. And my daughter, I called for prayers for her. She was in a serious automobile accident Friday, head-on collision, wasn't wearing her seatbelt. She didn't break any bones, but she has a concussion. She's at home, but she can't hardly get around. She's beat up and banged up. And when I was at the hospital Friday checking on her and finding everything's all right, I went up to the ICU and I had my Methodist badge. And, you know, if you don't know a relative, a patient, they won't let you see them. But I asked if they had a liver patient, and they had a 67-year-old man. I got to go witness to him, and he's getting he got a liver that evening. And it's just a blessing to be able to share that. And he actually told me, he said, "You're going to think I'm crazy because everybody else does." He said, "A month ago, I was crying and all tore up." He said, "Jesus come to me and told me I had to quit crying, that I had 30 more years left on this planet." So I believe you. That's a lot in one phone call.
Amen, Gary. Hey, it was a lot, but it was powerful. I got a new liver 11 years ago, and man, it sounded like you got a warm heart with that liver. Hot
God
heart for God.
Prayer request quickly.
He did.
Praise God.
Gary, thank you.
Michael in Ohio. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, Alex. Hey, I want to put in a prayer request for, she wants to remain anonymous, but she's a school teacher here in Ohio with breast cancer.
Hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
School teacher.
School teacher with breast cancer. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. I want to get a couple of more prayer requests, then, Bert, I'm going to ask you to pray.
I'm writing them down, trying
Katrina
to.
Katrina in Mississippi. Katrina, thanks for holding. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to hear y'all's voice, and I love listening to your show. But I do have two prayer requests right now. I have a girl named Holly Hedges. She is having an aneurysm in her head, and I do believe she's going in the morning to have that done. Okay. And I also want to pray for my brother, Greg Pruitt. He has just found out he had prostate cancer, and it's really tough on me because me and him are the only ones taking care of our parents right now. So just pray for him, and the Lord will bless him.
Amen, of course. Bert, would you, these prayer
let's
requests,
do that.
The school teacher with breast cancer, Holly Hedges with a possible aneurysm there, the brother with prostate cancer. Bert, lead us, would you?
Father, I thank you that we could call upon you, and we've been encouraged to hear from Gary about how you've answered prayer concerning livers, and we're believing that for his stepdaughter with the wreck. Father, I pray that you would make her recover. And then, Father, Michael, who has a friend, a school teacher with breast cancer, Father, how difficult that is, how dangerous it is. Father, we're praying for recovery. We're praying for healing. We're trusting you and asking you to touch her life, Father, that she would continue to do and be what you want her to be. Thank you for Katrina calling in. Thank you, Father. You can hear it in her voice, a concern for Holly. The aneurysm, the surgery that is about to take place, we're praying for success. And, Father, we're trusting you. And for her brother Greg and the cancer, Father, taking care of elderly parents is not easy. And when you've had help, it's such a blessing. And when it's down to the one, it is difficult beyond measure many times. So I'm praying, Father, for your glory. For your glory and your glory alone, that you would use the power that you have to raise these people up, Father, to give you honor and glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, one and all. Mary in Tennessee. Mary, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, I was calling to ask for prayer from my friends and family. I've got some friends that are struggling, trying to find work and that sort of thing, and dealing with some health challenges as well.
Wow, thank you for sharing that. People needing work,
oh,
people
man.
Dealing with health challenges, and hey, a lot of people out there could relate to that.
They really
can. Let's pray for those that are seeking employment. And as I bring up LaToya from Virginia also, I want to ask you all to pray. You know, we had 90-some kids in Georgia this week. And, Bert, I met a young man named Isaac who's going to Hardin-Simmons University, and he listens to Exploring the Word, says, and he's just a dynamic Christian young man, and he's listened to Exploring the Word since he was about 12 or 13, he said. And last night we had easily half a dozen youth pray to accept Christ, and Bert, I would ask you to keep those in prayer as well.
Amen.
But right now, LaToya in Virginia, welcome to the program.
Hi there. I work at a pregnancy resource center. Want to ask for prayer. Maybe if you guys could remember or listeners could keep those that are unborn with their lives in the balance to keep prayer in their cities and the nation. I just left work and we had a 19-year-old young lady, 21 weeks pregnant, wanting an abortion. Sadly, that is still okay in Virginia. And so just prayers for her. Don't have a name, obviously.
Right. Wow. Thank you. Alex, we got people out there who are working in these crisis pregnancy centers, doing everything they can. They're winning them to the Lord. They're saving babies. Man, we lift them up, don't we?
We do. And for all of you like LaToya that are, you know, lifting up this intercessory prayer, standing for truth, influencing others, fighting the good fight, may God be with you one and all. Bert, let me pray for us
right now.
Yes. I can do that.
Yes, please.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up these prayer requests. And Lord, we know there are people that are seeking work. And there are people that are in financially desperate places. Lord, I pray that you would open doors and give people hope and then provide, just miraculously provide, even churches that are in struggles. And Lord, I pray more and more people would want to come back to church.
Yes.
And that you would again bless us with a revival and a visitation of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for LaToya and reminding us to pray for the pregnancy resource centers. And Lord, we pray for the unborn. And Lord, I confess our heart breaks for this nation and the some think 70, 85 million babies that have been aborted, those lives that have been lost. And Lord, have mercy that we have blood on our hands as a nation. But please restore an ethic of life. And Lord, an ethic of morality and righteousness and truth. And for all these requests and more, for the young people getting saved that have not grown up in the Christian America that many of us grew up in, Lord, please let them find the pathway and not only get born again, but then live their lives as a disciple of you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Alex, give Brent one moment. He's got a prayer request and get another one.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brent.
My wife's aunt. You remember Brian that was on Exploring Missions?
Yes.
With us, that's his grandmother. Her health is declining quickly. They're trying to find a place to move her in her last days.
Okay. Go ahead, Alex.
And Alan in Louisiana, quickly, if you could, sir.
Jewish. He's been getting more and more interested in Jesus. He has heart arrhythmia. His heart is going 130 beats a minute. They're going to have to take him to the hospital.
Hey, Alan, forgive me, you're breaking up a little bit, but I think
we got it.
A
God
Jewish
heard
person
it for sure.
Who's getting more and more interested in Jesus. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Bert, it's a good day, isn't it?
Good day. Pray for Alan, and just pray God would be with Stephanie's, is it grandmother? Aunt. So be praying. Alex, day of prayer again. Thank you, God. I pray that you'd help them and help us. And pray that you would do your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening, folks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.